Hi, welcome to the Blackout Tips spoiler movie reviews with your host Rod, and I am here with two people that you may or may not know if you are around the podcasting circuit. Of course, one has been on spoiler movie reviews many times. It's H2O Kev, co-host of the Insanity Check podcast. What up, Kev?
What's going on, man? I'm hiding out over here.
All right, that's what's up, man. And of course we have Sterling, who everybody should know is the wound god, whether it's in the whether in the chat room or whatever. If you're just hanging around the Blackout Tips, you should know of Sterling. What's up, Sterling?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Randomly tweet you from time to time. It's usually the wound god.
Yeah.
Now today's movie that we're reviewing on Spoiler Movie Reviews, and of course the motto of the show is it's for people who saw the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck, because we spoil it, man.
And I really don't know how we're going to spoil this fucking movie, because, you know, we can tell people what fucking happened, but by the time they see it, they might not even believe us. Because this movie's a fucking trip. Yeah. I mean, come on, for real.
Simon knew Elizabeth the entire time. Okay, guys, so let's go ahead and
we got that out the way.
Start with the spoilers. But we rate things here still on the More Epic Than Love Jones scale. We have not forgotten that. Where the ratings are from
Mario Dawson's Bush is bald.
From 0 to 5, and 0 being man, fuck you, and 5 being the fuck you waiting for. Go see this shit. So first things first, let's talk about
Rosario Dawson's Bush. That's not there.
Let's talk about what worked for the movie for you guys. We'll go with Kevin.
It wasn't there. Actually, a lot worked for this movie. It was a trippy ass movie because the movie goes in and out from different scenes. And
hold on one second. I'm sorry, Kev. I forgot to say the synopsis. My bad, dog. Never did that shit before. This movie is about a guy who Simon, played by James McAvoy, who he's an art auctioneer, and he becomes mixed up with some criminals in an art heist of a painting, and he gets knocked the fuck out. And unlike every other movie where people get knocked out, he actually shows symptoms from being knocked out, as in short-term memory loss, and he can't remember where he hid a painting, because he was, you know, newsflash, he was involved in the heist, and now he's forgotten where the painting is himself. And the rest of the movie becomes about a hypnotherapist played by Rosario Dawson trying to help him discover his hidden memory of where that painting could be. Now I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kev. What was working for you?
Actually, you know, since you already brought all that up, the entire story was working pretty well for me. I enjoyed the story very much, to the point where, you know, it had me fooled plenty of times. Like, I really couldn't guess what was going to happen next. All the actors were good in it. Rosario Dawson's non-existent Bush that you get to see, I mean, it comes out in a scene where it's just golden. Like, if you wanted to go to heaven and you saw the gates of heaven, it opened and a woman was waiting for you and it was Rosario Dawson, that's what you would see right there, my man. That is what you would see. It was heavenly. But
She went full frontal for this, and that was a big it's kind of weird because it's almost like a huge reveal, because the movie trailer gives you no indication that's gonna happen, and even the tone of the movie kind of gives you no indication that was happening. There's no foreshadowing or anything. It's just bam, full frontal. What's up?
I know, and the thing about it was, like, they kept teasing at it. Like, they kept teasing you with side boobs here. They kept teasing you, like, little shots here. And I'm like, man, you know what? Rosario Dawson's not going to get naked. And then when that scene finally happens, like, I was enjoying the movie. I mean, I thought the story was great. Like, I love the fact that I couldn't tell what was actually a dream sequence or what was actually a hypnosis sequence or not. I couldn't actually tell who was actually hypnotized at the time. Actually, there are two side characters, the two side gangsters that were working with Frankie, yeah, Frank, mm-hmm. Whatever. I don't even know if they were actually real. Like, I kind of think they were, maybe they were just like people there who were there just because of the hypnosis too. Like, they didn't even seem real if you think about it in the long run. But man, the movie makes you think, and it's just awesome.
It is a thinker for sure.
Yeah.
Sterling, what worked for you for this movie?
off the bat, I would have to say the camera work really got me because of how they shot certain scenes, letting like the light bleed in, like when they were doing the trance sequences and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Really trying to, I can't explain it. Like the scene where they're all together, like the first time Elizabeth gets Simon and all of them in one room to put them under hypnosis, and like kind of how like there's kind of glare in there, you know what I mean? So you can't really see everything that's happening.
Right.
I really liked that, and also the way where you know you would see stuff, like where Simon first met Elizabeth and they kind of like pushed off each other, but you, so you knew something was weird, but you never got to know what the fuck was up until the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like I really liked that.
Yeah, the hinting when he first goes to visit Elizabeth in the office, and they have that weird interaction, that was actually really underplayed, and it actually sold well. Like, mm-hmm. I think everyone kind of notices it, but then you go, is this like,
I didn't even pick up on it. Like, I saw it, but I was like, huh.
That's what I mean. It's like,
yeah.
Is this a quirk of the character? Is this, you know?
I think that's what I might have put it off as.
Yeah, I think I did too. And, you know, when it comes back around, you're like, fuck, that did happen. I remember that moment, you know, and they sold it very well.
Right, right.
I'll say what worked for me. Vincent Castle as Frank was good. Like,
great job as Frank.
Yeah.
He played a good intimidating, but not like recklessly, needlessly violent criminal. The twist in the movie that kind of turns James McAvoy into the bad guy, and Frank is now kind of like a tragic hero in a way, or an anti-hero, that worked for me too. Like, because I never hated Vincent Cassell as Frank, I whenever it was kind of flipped over where it's like, well, actually this dude's not nearly as bad as fucking what's really going on in Simon's head, I was actually able to be like, yeah, I guess he wasn't that bad of a guy, you know, I don't want him to die anymore.
I never thought that much about Frank. Like, I never had that kind of thought about Frank.
Yeah, I think because he was kind of eloquent with his words, and kind of like he had some sort of like threat behind him, because, you know, of course they tortured James McAvoy to start the film. You do feel like he's a badass, but I never felt like he was just some type of, I don't know, terrible human being. I think a lot of movies, the bad guy, it kind of comes across like as this irredeemable piece of shit. And then you just go, well, fuck him too. He needs to die, you know? And, I never really felt he needed to die. Like it was kind of cool. I thought the sequences of the trances worked very well. Like the way they filmed them, the way that they came across like dreams, the way that, the symbolism, you know, like when in the first dream where he needs to kill all of the bad guys, quote unquote, for him to be able to realize where the painting is, and he shoots the glass that's the shadows of the guys, and then shoots Frank, like that whole scene was kind of cool, you know, the angles of the camera and how you really kind of get like a twisted sense of reality. I really enjoyed that. And there was something else too that worked. Yeah, and those are the major things that worked for me, I guess. And also, oh yeah, the narration of James McAvoy worked for me too.
Like, yeah, definitely.
Like it really just draws, because it feels like he's talking to you the whole time, and you kind of go into a trance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, did this movie happen or not? At the end, it's like I'm coming out of a trance when I saw the credits. Like, I really enjoyed those things. Now let's talk about things that didn't work for you guys. I'll start with Kev, if Kev's still there.
I don't believe he is.
Oh, Kev had to step away. All right, cool. He'll be back, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What about you, Sterling? What did not work for you?
There wasn't that much. Like, it was a really solid movie. The only thing I can really say, which I can't even really go with, is the movie felt long, but only in the middle of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't know what I would cut out to make it shorter. Everything kind of needed to be there for me, you know what I mean? Like, everything just really worked for it. And then once you get, I would say, probably right past, like, when Elizabeth and Frank start going at it, like, the whole movie just starts speeding up so much that it just makes it worth it to sit there for what, I think it was, like, 2 hours and 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was the only thing.
Yeah,
like, the movie was great.
It does get a little, it does feel a little bit long at some points, because especially when they go through the trance sequence like over and over again and he's not getting anywhere with it. I thought that the romance that they had in there felt forced at times, but it was supposed to, like, you know, when you get to the reveal that this, that Simon's been in a relationship with Elizabeth before and he got abusive and possessive and all this stuff happens, you kind, it kind of justifies that feeling that you had about halfway through the film, well, that I had halfway through the film, where I'm like, why the fuck is he all on her jock, you know, after a couple sessions? Like, it seems kind of like they don't really have much in common and he's already on some like, I love you, we need to be together. So that kind of worked out. The things that didn't work for me were, and I don't, man, it's gonna sound like I'm really shitting on this film, but I'm really not. I enjoyed the fuck out of this film, but you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this shit up. I thought that the reality they built in the film kind of just took a back seat to what they wanted to do with the trans sequences, because there's stuff that happens in this film where I'm like, that would, like, the police or somebody would come around and stop, like, the rest of this shit, you know? There's the fact that, you know, he was kind of involved in an art heist and he never really was a suspect by anybody else. Like, the police don't interview him. Yeah, like,
he never
him.
Got questioned.
Right, yeah, his boss doesn't have an issue. Like, I don't even remember him going back to work ever. Like,
yeah, he didn't. Yeah, like, I remember that there was that, like, one scene, I think, where, like, maybe he was crossing the street or something, and his boss was on the other side of the street, and he just kind of, like, dipped, like, around the corner so his boss didn't see him, but they never really got back to what happens after, you know, the you know, what you're supposed to do fucks up and you're just in the hospital.
Yeah, you would think that, like, someone would be like, well, what happened to your fingernails, dude? Like, yeah. You know, you don't even come to work and your hand's fucked up. It looks like someone's been beating on you. What's going on with you? You know, also, the police just kind of disappear in this movie. Like, they kind of show all this setup at the beginning about security and art heist and all this stuff. And I don't know. It just felt like the police never really were involved in this film until they went to go pick up the car from Impound. And that was a big, like, slip to me, because they go pick up this car from Impound and there's a dead body in the trunk and nobody gives, like, no police check, no, like, it just, like,
yeah, nobody, like, smells the dead body. It's not like it was an airtight car or something.
Yeah, no one called to report her missing, because, like, immediately if a young white woman goes missing, I'm pretty sure they're gonna check her car that's in Impound to see, like, and it's obviously been involved in an accident, you know, to see, like, what's going on. And that never really happened, man. So, like, that really weirded me out, and kind of took me out of the movie a little bit. Like, I felt like and it wouldn't have happened if they hadn't gone back to the police impound. But once they did, I was like, hey, that's right. This happened in reality. Where the fuck are the police? You know, then they cause a fire. Right. Multiple people get killed. Rosario Dawson almost gets raped. There's murders in her apartment. And at the end, she's just kind of like, all right, man, I decided to keep this painting for myself. I'm not going to sell it or anything. You can come find me, Frank, if you feel like it. I'm out. And I'm like, all this murder, all this violence, all these bodies. And there's no sense of, like, we need to escape. We're, you know, yeah. It just felt kind of, I don't know, man. It felt like it, the dream sequences pulled me into the movie, and it was weird because I felt like the reality of the movie pulled me out. Like, this doesn't feel real to me. So I would say that didn't work for me. That was about it that didn't work. I forgot to mention things that did work was, those dudes being rapey as shit. That scene completely worked, because I was like, when they left and they were taking off her shirt taking off her sweater, I was like, yeah, this is about to be some rape, so please get back in that room and save her.
Yeah, seriously. That, the black dude, Nate, was creepy as fuck waiting for them to leave.
Yeah, and he dude got shot in the dick, and that worked for me, too. Because, yeah. Like, every dude, like, there's only, like, I don't know, a few people in my theater, and most of them were older, but, like, you know, every dude that saw that scene immediately grabbed his junk, like, oh, no. Not the junk shot, the gat to the junk. So yeah, those things actually did work for me. But yeah, those are the things that didn't work. I also thought Simon as a character, the twist in the relationship part when they did the flashback, mm-hmm. seemed so like weird and unrealistic. You know, like dude really went from a simp to Ike Turner in like 2 seconds, man.
Yeah, like seemed so mild mannered through everything, and then it's like, yeah, but then he got crazy and he's just like choking the shit out of my door. Like, what happened in this man's life that this is now a trigger for him to beat the shit out of people?
Yeah, and the very last thing that did work for me, man, and like I said, it's gonna sound like I didn't enjoy the movie, but I did. But I thought the ending of it was so like, it didn't really take a stance on anything. It didn't really, there's no real winner, quote unquote, or loser. It was just like Rosario Dawson just decides all these bodies, all this shit's for nothing. I'm going to go ahead and keep this painting. Mm-hmm. So fuck all the people that died, fuck Simon, fuck Frank. This is my painting because I got hit one time in a relationship. So now I'm going to take a priceless work of art and hang it on my wall for me to look at. And that is okay. And it made me hate her because I was like, you fucking morally reprehensible bitch. Give that fucking piece, give that shit to the police or give it back to the museum or something, because, I don't get why you deserve it and why you should have it or whatnot. How did you feel about, the ending with her?
It was kind of odd to me. I did like that nobody was the good guy in this movie,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't understand how she was just, you know, a hypnotist and she had enough money to have this really good apartment and also have enough money to have like some house in the countryside or whatever that she could escape to. Once she stole this, like, what, $14 million painting? That was kind of weird. Like, they just kind of like, yeah, she had this shit all planned. Now she can leave. Like, they never explained how she set all that up. But I do love the last 20 minutes of that movie,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, like, from once, like, I think Simon, like, hit Frank with, like, the fire extinguisher in the elevator and they go down to the car.
Yeah.
Like, I did like it. It was just like, you know, little things like chipped away at me from there, but it was great to watch.
Yeah, that's the thing. I really like, and when we do the summation of the entire movie, I'll try to be more precise, concise. But yeah, I really did like the movie, which, you know, is probably sounding weird to people right now. But it was just these little things were things I just kind of forgave in the flow of the movie. But ultimately, it was like, yeah, I don't think I'm rooting for her either. Like, she kind of had some weird ass stances. And the way it was filmed and shot and the action and all that stuff kind of makes you gloss over stuff in the heat of the moment. But the more I thought about it, the more I was just like, yeah, Rosario Dawson's character is not really a good person necessarily. Like, cause remember when she's like, I found the best revenge is that you just forget about it and move on. It's like, not really. Like, you clearly didn't, you know.
Yeah.
you and then the idea of being able to use hypnotherapy to concoct this 2-year-long plan for a priceless art theft from the hypnotherapist doing it, not any of the actual criminals like involved having the plan. She has the plan. Like, for her to be able to do that also felt like that's not real. Like, his hypnotherapy that precise where I could just
be it felt like a cheaper version of Inception.
It did, man. It did. It felt like the art house Inception.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think a lot of people kind of compare those two films, but for me, Inception is far superior. But it also, it kind of had its own like mathematical logic and kind of more planned out. So
yeah, like Inception was all about the idea of doing that, where like this movie was just like, oh yeah, she can do that shit, so this happened, but now let's look past that to see everything that happens from what she did. Like, no, how did she get that to happen? Like,
yeah, it's like, if and then like, because she was like 5% of people are susceptible to, I'm like, that's not a lot. 5% of people,
how did you find him and how was he the one?
Yeah, it would have almost been better if she said, look, we didn't even really have a relationship, you were marked the whole time and I made all this shit up. Like, I guess that would have made her too much of a bad guy, but like, that would have been more understandable. Like, oh, you found the needle in the haystack and you used him to get this, this painting for yourself. But once she's like, once you get to the end and she's like, I'm not selling the painting, I'm not giving it back to the museum, I'm not calling the police, it's like, the fuck is wrong with you, you selfish, stuck up motherfucker? Like, like, people had to die so you could have this shit on your wall because you got hit one time. A girl died. You know what I'm saying?
Rotting in the back of an Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
Because she got hit once.
Because she got hit one time. Somebody had to die. She's just like, I'm sorry, but I'm keeping this pain. You know, so I thought that was crazy. All right, man, we might have lost Kev, so let's go ahead and wrap it up. On a scale of 0 to 5, right? The More Epic Than Love Jones scale, 0 being, man, fuck you, and 5 being, fuck you, waiting for, go see this shit. What would you give this, Sterling?
I'd give it a 4. I definitely have to give it a solid 4 just because you don't have to go see it in theaters. You can wait till it comes out on Blu-ray.
Okay. Now, 4 is full price opening weekend, but I know what you mean. It's
okay.
It, on a rating of a movie, it is a, you know, it's a 4 out of 5 movie as far as, I know what you say. For me personally, I'll give it a 3, which is $5 AMC Before Noon Special Matinee. I saw this, in my matinee, during the week. So I only pay like $7 for it. And I feel like it's about a $7 movie. Like, if you see this on Netflix, you see this on DVD, you won't be let down. You won't be disappointed. The logic gets a little wonky, sometimes, but in general, it's actually a pretty, pretty solid movie that, unless you are one of those people that really likes to think about your movies, you're going to enjoy it. And all the actors did well. Like, I can't think of any scene where I was just like, man, this actor blew it. And then for you guys that are just, like Kev, naked Rosario Dawson, frontal, no pubes. So I understand a lot of people are into that. You guys haven't gotten around to the internet yet, xvideos.com, but whatever it takes. So if you're into that, you can go see it too. But yeah, I would give it a, 3 more epic than Love Jones, out of 5. So yeah, for spoiled movie reviews, thank you guys for, this is Rod. I want to thank everybody for coming out. And, on behalf of H2O Kev, who is probably getting his car worked on as we speak, and, Sterling, aka the Wound God, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to y'all again soon. Peace.